From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, September 13th. Here are today's headlines.
Housing advocates are calling for a federally funded rental assistance program to be restored after Governor Phil Scott announced it will end this fall. Bridget Mienka learned she was eligible for the Vermont Rental Assistance Program last month. At the time, the mother of two felt like she'd found a lifeline.
So much anxiety and stress was lifted off our shoulders.
But 2 weeks ago, the state told Mienka her benefits would end in December.
Now we're worried that we're going to have to uproot our children from their home and their school.
More than 8,000 Vermont households will be affected by the unexpected end of the rental assistance program. The Scott administration says it's run out of federal COVID relief money to fund the program. Advocates say thousands of Vermonters could lose their housing if the governor and lawmakers don't figure out a way to keep it going.
State health officials are encouraging Vermonters to get the new COVID booster and a flu shot at the same time. Monica Ogilby manages the state's immunization program. She thinks the overall participation rate for both the vaccines will increase if they're administered at the same visit.
We have learned through the pandemic that the more you bring vaccine to where people are and make it easy and convenient for them to get vaccinated, that they're going to be more likely to get vaccinated.
Ogilby says Vermonters who've received at least their primary COVID vaccines are eligible for the new booster.
A hunter is in critical condition after he was shot by another hunter who says he mistook him for a bear. The Vermont Warden Service is investigating the incident, which occurred on Saturday on private land in Huntington. The victim was shot in the abdomen while walking to a tree stand in a wooded area off Main Road. At the time of the incident, none of the parties involved were wearing blaze orange, which hunters are highly encouraged to wear.
Coming up, how to build a mountain bike trail. That story after this.
Work is underway on the Velomont Trail. It's a plan to connect nearly 500 miles of new and existing mountain bike routes from Vermont's southern border up to Canada, with a series of huts along the way. Think the long trail, but for bikes.
Velomont planners want to bring extra tourist traffic to the towns and villages located along the planned trail path. But a lot of sections still need to be completed. As part of our summer school series, our colleague Kevin Trevelin spent a rainy morning with one of the trail builders.
Tom LePesker's commute to work often includes an off-road vehicle.
About 3 miles on this trail, which is a little far, but pretty nice trail all in all.
He rides through some private land on Rochester Mountain in central Vermont on a recent August morning, then gets off on a remote hillside dense with foliage, bugs, and fog, and all the equipment needed to dig out a new 1.5 mile section of the Velomont Trail.
We're probably a couple thousand feet of trail down from the summit where we started a couple weeks ago, trying to find the good dirt and trying to make a sustainable trail here.
LePesker's built a handful of Velomont stretches over the last 3 years, and he'll take on more after this one. Part of the reason why? He appreciates expanding access to the outdoors and the out-of-the-way parts of Vermont that the trail network passes through.
One of the things that's so neat with Velomont is that it's bringing more people into riding areas where they wouldn't probably ever come if it weren't for this trail.
LePesker jokes that he selfishly took this job and others in the area because they're basically in his backyard. He moved to Rochester 5 years ago, so he'll get to enjoy these trails with his friends and family. Step one before that, getting approval, funding, and surveying the land to figure out a loose route. LePesker says a lot of his work happens before even breaking ground. After settling on a plan, he clears brush from the route with a chainsaw. LePesker has been building trails professionally for 15 years, but his experience goes back even further. He grew up on a rural New Hampshire farm with a twin brother. The, quote, pretty unsupervised children had free rein to use their neighbor's tools, equipment, and land to build trails. On Rochester Mountain, LePesker navigates a small excavator between some trees. That's the next step, digging out the trail itself with the machine's bucket. LePesker is careful to avoid driving over a tear on one of the excavator treads, which is being held together with a piece of repurposed metal while he waits for a new part. Improvising is nothing new for him. As a kid, he became handy welding together bike parts salvaged from the dumpster. As a trail builder, the land itself also encourages improvisation. Like when LePesker's excavator runs into a rock ledge hidden beneath the soil.
in order to not mess with that tree, I'm going to have to really scratch at some ledge to kind of get above that root system.
So he grabs a metal pole to probe the earth for a potential path forward.
Just, I need one of those dowsing rods for dirt for a radar system.
Lepesker sees the hillside as a puzzle coming together very slowly, and it's his job as the trail builder to figure out where the pieces go.
What we're after is just almost like when you ride through a section, you almost have to stop and look back and just be like, what just happened there? That was like, that felt kind of magical. You know, on a more micro scale, that happens because of the decisions we make at, you know, every inch of the way based on the grade that we're using and the terrain that we have and all the little tricks we have in our arsenal.
This trail will end up rugged with steep, rocky sections. But Lepesker says he's not designing it purely to provide the best ride. He's also trying to minimize his impact on the land.
You know, we're thinking about everything from where the water's flowing and, you know, how to deal with it, as well as the trees that we are trying to avoid disrupting. And really the end goal is to have like that, you know, ribbon of trail behind you that almost looks like it just got set there.
That ties into another important part of building a trail, getting buy-in from the local community. An economic impact study found that Rochester could see a notable bump in tourist spending as the Velamont network comes online. Locals have already started noticing more out-of-state license plates in recent years, including at the town's bike shop. Dune Hendricks owns Green Mountain Bikes in Rochester and is planning to open a nearby hostel for thru-bikers. He says adventure tourism has become part of Rochester's new identity in the wake of Hurricane Irene, and his manufacturing jobs have faded out of the area.
On Saturdays now, it gets very people-y in town.
To Lepesker, that means more money going to his friends' businesses and the schools his daughters attend, which, along with his paycheck, helps make all the exhausting labor worthwhile. After finishing up with the excavator on Rochester Mountain, Lepesker removes rocks from the freshly turned soil using a hand tool called a Pulaski. Imagine a combination axe and hoe, something you'd find on a wildland firefighting job.
I'm basically a human rototiller right now.
He combs the same length of trail with a heavy-duty rake to get any leftover small debris. With a smooth surface, this section of trail is just about ready to ride. Lepesker says it can get monotonous picking rocks out of the dirt. He keeps an extensive podcast library to pass the time. But if he only clears 100 feet of earth by the end of the day, he says he can take pride in knowing the trail will outlast his aches and pains. And he's keenly aware of his place within Vermont's history of massive end-to-end trails.
I really like the idea, even if nobody ever knows that it was our little company that built the trail, that so many people will get to use it and enjoy it for so many years to come. That weighs pretty heavily when I look at a project. I want it to get used.
Lepesker will finish this job and move on to another near Rochester and one by Killington. He has to pack in the work while he can before it gets too cold to work outside. Winter is for all the paperwork he's been putting off during the warm seasons. For Vermont Public, I'm Kevin Trevelin.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Bob Kinzel, and Mary Engish.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.